I got that summertime, summertime sadness. Got that summertime, summertime sadness.
Baseball pop with great skill from him to wing the Mosala! Raheem Sterling! What a finish! What pure class from the Englishman!
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hello and welcome back to the Premier Talk podcast. This is episode 5. We're going to call this one Fan Q&A. I'm one of your two hosts, Andrew Molo, and alongside with me, as always, is Daniel Barbuto. Daniel, we got a good one in store today. We're going to do a little bit of match day mix-up. There's several match days we have to still go through, obviously. And then we're going to answer a boatload of fan questions today. So super exciting to get into this to this episode today.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. I'm excited for the fan questions because we do it a couple times. Usually it's just like 3 or 4. This week we got a lot of them. So thank you to all you guys for participating on our Instagram. And Andrew, why don't you start us off with the starting lineup?
So on the starting lineup today, we got the match day mix up, including several match days. You got match day 26, 29, and 33.
And we also got, like we said, the fan questions. So we got an exciting one for you guys today.
Questions, baby.
We've got fan questions. This is a lot of fan questions. Then again, I'm going to repeat from I did from the start. We appreciate you guys for sending in fan questions. You know, once every couple of weeks, we throw it up on our Instagram story. Send us questions. And you guys did. You sent us
some fire questions. Yeah.
Yeah. We got some amazing questions, really. We got 7 questions here we're going to answer on the show today. Andrew, why don't you start us off with the first fan question?
A buddy of mine, Vinish, he asks, can Man City finally win the UCL, the UEFA Champions League? Daniel? What do you think?
Yes, finally. As much as I hate to say, you know, you got City, like rivals, like I don't want to win a Champions League, but this team is so stacked. And if they continue playing like they have been in the league so far, like they're playing so good that they can beat, I think, anybody. I think their hardest opponent is going to be Bayern Munich because that team is also stacked. That would be a fantastic final. I would love to see that in the final. Imagine Bayern Munich versus Manchester City. That'd be great. Hopefully they don't match up in the quarters or semis so that they can meet in the finals. But I think Man City finally has what it takes to win the UCL.
Dan, I'm going to have to agree with you here. And not only they've been playing amazing, it's who's going to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
No Real Madrid, no Barcelona, no PSG. Who else is there? I don't think Chelsea can contend with them. They're too good. The only team, like you said, that I'd argue is that Bayern Munich could do it. Mm-hmm. Bayern Munich's got a stacked team, similar to that of Manchester City. They got a lot of depth.
Depth is
so key. And then they got those game-changing players. City's got their De Bruyne. Bayern Munich's got their Lewandowski's. You know, like those players are the game changers, really. And when they're firing on all cylinders, they're impossible to stop. So a clash between these two teams would be the ultimate final this year. They're the teams that have been, you know, the most consistent. Bayern Munich's tapered off a little bit in their domestic league. But they're doing phenomenally in the Champions League. And I think that final would be amazing to watch.
Mm-hmm. We're going to move on to the next question here from Stefano. Does Sancho get sold in the upcoming window? If so, to where? This is, I think, the most obvious answer here is if so to, I'm going to answer the if so to where. It's going to be Manchester United, which I think that's why we included this question, because that's where he's linked heaviest to. Being a Manchester United fan, I don't think Sancho's going to be sold to them in the upcoming window. I think that they're asking for so much. And I really, like, being honest with you, I don't think that United needs Sancho. I think they have plenty of goal threats up top and there's no need for them to go spend 80 to 100 mil on a winger that is going to help their team, but I don't think he's going to extremely help their team. You got Greenwood, who's already playing basically that right mid, right wing, right cam spot. And he hasn't been as good as he was last year, but yeah, last year was like, just like, he's probably never going to get those numbers again. He had like 22 goals last year. I don't think we need him. So I'm going to say no.
I don't know if he's going to leave. I don't know. And if he does, I don't think it's going to be Manchester United because I think that dream is dead. I think there was an opportunity there. I think there was a window when he was heavily, heavily linked with Manchester United, like so many players are. But it really looked like it was going to happen, that deal. It looked like he was going to go to Manchester United for an outrageous sum of money, a large sum of money, but it never happened. Dortmund wanted to hold on to him for one more season. They did, and he's still there. If he does go anywhere, I see him going to maybe like a Real Madrid. That's where I would see him, because the Hazard deal hasn't really worked out. Hazard's only got so many years of prime football, and he's been struggling with injuries, been struggling to stay fit. They're not really sold on Vinicius. They're not really sold on Rodrigo. Maybe they bring in a guy like Sancho to up the ante, make those players, you know, competitive for a spot. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I think we'd fit in at Real Madrid. He'd be able to just go and do his thing there and excel. And maybe if they brought in a pair of Haaland and Sancho, that'd be amazing to see. Maybe both of them end up at Real Madrid. Who knows where those two will end up. But to answer your question, Stefano, I don't think he's going to end up at Manchester United. And it's hard to answer this question, but if I had to answer it, possibly Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm. We're moving on to the next question here from Ryan. We got, this is probably going to take a lot of time, so we're going to cut this down a little bit. We got most,
just maybe say like top five, like just some sort of notable ones, maybe.
Yeah, most underrated player from each team. Do you want to do top five? Top, like
maybe top, five picks each that you think deserve. Okay. You know, from separate teams.
Okay. I'm going to start us off. First one, I'm going right to Manchester City, Gundogan. Yeah. Gundogan this year has been absolutely fantastic. He's already been voted player of the month. He's playing absolutely out of his mind this year. He's a fantastic midfielder. He's been going forward, scoring goals, getting assists. He's most underrated player this year for me from Manchester City. Throw it to you for the next one.
I'm going to say Jamie Vardy, because I know he's, bro, I love Jamie. Mm-hmm. Sick striker, like amazing finishing ability. And for him to go from like non-league, non-competitive league to professional football is incredible. I think he's still slept on. I think people don't even consider him in the top five of Premier League strikers. So I'm going to say underrated Jamie Vardy.
My second one, I'm going to go with, second one that pops in my mind was James Milner, because I think he, for the amount of versatility he gives you, and you think that he can play midfielder, he's played fullback before, he doesn't care where they put him, he can go in net for all he cares. And that versatility is so underrated, in my opinion. You have a player like that, I'm going to go with Milner for my second pick.
I already mentioned him in this episode, but I'm going to go another underrated player, Azpilicueta. Mm-hmm. Been at Chelsea for quite a while. He's been their captain. He's a leader. He leads that young back line, and he's made some amazing tackles to really, you know, save some goals at times. So I'm going to give the nod to Azpilicueta.
Who am I going to go with here? This one might be controversial because I don't know if he's underrated, but I'm going to go with Saka because he's young. I think people don't realize how good he is because he is like just absolutely fantastic. I love him as a player as much as I can't stand Arsenal. I think he's great. I think he's extremely underrated because I think he's already a special talent and he's like 19 or 20 years old right now. So I think in like 5 years when he's in his prime age, he's going to be absolutely ridiculous. So I'm going to go Saka as my third most underrated player.
I know people keep sleeping on James Ward-Prowse. He's an absolute beast for Southampton. He's a leader for that team. He's amazing. One of the world's best free kick takers. He's got a great passing ability. So I'm going to go James Ward-Prowse. Super underrated for Southampton.
Okay, fourth pick. I'm going to go with Raul Jimenez. I think it shows, like I know he's been injured because that was a very gruesome head injury that he picked up against Arsenal, but it shows that team in the standings right now without him, and then where they would be if he was there with all the goal scoring he provides and the hold up play, and he's a big number nine and just everything he does to that team. I think Jimenez is so underrated. He's a great striker in the Prem. And for me, he's my fourth most underrated player in the Prem.
Daniel, number four for me is going to have to be Patrick Bamford. Mm-hmm. The guy scores bangers, man. Like, he's an absolute beast. And he destroyed Aston Villa that one game earlier on in the season. I'll never forget the goals he scored. They're all crazy, crazy finishes. Patrick Bamford's got to be number four for me.
This is where I get lost. My fifth pick, jeez.
I already got my fifth one lined up here.
You already got your fifth? Okay, go ahead. You're your fifth one lined up, go.
I'm going to have to go with Brighton & Hove Albion fullback, Tariq Lamptey. The guy used to play for Chelsea. I'm sad at Chelsea let him go. But they got, you know, James, obviously, to fill that void. But Tariq Lamptey, he's just so pacey. He's versatile, can play as a fullback, can play as a wingback, possibly even as a winger. He's got that quality. He's been linked to Bayern Munich. He's been linked back to Chelsea. He's a super, super talent, waiting to, you know, make his big stamp on the game. And I think he will, because he's got so much quality and he's got a great ability to play this game, especially in a competitive league and physically demanding league like the Premier League.
I'm having a laugh at my fifth player.
You mentioned Luke Shaw, though. He's underrated as well. Like,
I was gonna go Luke Shaw, but I already mentioned him, so I don't want to mention him again.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a laugh with this one. Lingardinho,
yo, he's actually underrated. That's a good pick. I forgot about Lingardinho.
I know Manchester United, he didn't play great. You know, he's been going through struggles there. He leaves, goes to West Ham, and is performing. He's getting on the goal sheet every single game. He's been fantastic. Fifth underrated player. I think this was a good list. 10 guys we picked that are underrated.
I like solid team. Solid team. Daniel, we're going to go to number four here. It's from Kasim. He's a sport media colleague of mine. He asks, will a team outside the big six, quote unquote, big six, finish in the top four? 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. Just looking at the table here, got Everton. They're not considered that big six team. West Ham, not considered that big six team. And you have West Ham that has a game in hand, Everton that has a game in hand on seventh place Liverpool. And then you also got Leicester, which is not a big six team either. And
is Leicester considered a big six team? I was going to ask.
I don't know. You got City, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Tottenham. And who am I missing here?
Arsenal.
There you go.
Arsenal's
considered a big six, 100%. They're known for being a big team in the league. So yeah, I think Everton could contend for that top six finish. West Ham's going to be tough against Liverpool and Tottenham. They're really, really on their heels right there. But for sure, Leicester's not going to drop out of the top six. No chance. They had 15
top four,
points.
Top four.
Oh, top four. Sorry. Yeah, Leicester, I don't think they're going to drop out of the top four. And I think possibly even Everton and West Ham could contend with the Chelsea. Chelsea's only 1 point ahead of Everton and then only 2 points ahead of sixth place West Ham. So it's going to be a close finish there.
I'm going to agree with you / disagree with you at the same time. I think if Leicester was included as a top six team, I would say no. But I think that Leicester is going to finish in the top four. I think that they're playing well. I know with their injuries, you know, they could falter slowly. But hopefully weeks go by, they continue to get players back. I think Leicester is going to be the only team outside of the top six that's going to finish in the top four.
Next question here for my boy Mateus. Mateus asks, do you believe the Prem was better 10 to 20 years ago? Or do you prefer the current Prem like the last couple of years better? I already know my answer, Daniel. I want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, there's going to be so many people that are going to hate me for this one. I think Prem now is better.
I don't see why not. Like, that's a good answer.
This is my thought process behind this. If you go and you grab the best 18 guys, let's say even 11, you grab your best starting 11 in the Prem right now, and you put them up against guys 10 to 20 years. Oh my God.
Daniel, we're talking like when Cristiano Ronaldo was at United. We're talking about Thierry Henry. We're talking about like all these legends that have been through the league. Like, it's tough to say, but
this is a tough question.
Daniel, to answer this question, I'd say 10 to 20 years ago, like the Rooneys, like those guys really, like the Paul Scholes, like the list goes on and on here, Daniel, really. Mm-hmm. But to answer this question, like those guys helped set a foundation for what the Premier League is today. They helped garner the interest that the Premier League has today, the worldwide interest. Guys like that have inspired players to come over to the Premier League. We've heard numerous stories. I want to play in the Premier League because so-and-so was here. You know mm-hmm. what I mean, Daniel? So I think those guys have absolutely helped grow the game and helped to, you know, expand the Premier League around the world. It's the biggest league by loads, right? But mm-hmm. today, I think I personally get like such this, like this nostalgic feeling when I go and like watch tapes of like, I don't know, when the Aguero goal happened, or, you know, like those big moments, like the Rooney bicycle mm-hmm. kick against City, like those big mm-hmm. moments. I remember the 90 backflips after you would score goals. Like that was my like most fond memories from when I was younger, right? When I was watching the league, we're only like 20 years old here, Daniel. So it's hard to remember like the Invincibles that happened, right? The Invincible mm-hmm. Arsenal team that had so many, like such great talent. Vieira, Pires, obviously Thierry Henry, the Bergkamps that were, you know, like there's so many great players that have come through, but it's hard to say, Daniel, but I'd say today's game, it's the game I prefer probably because I remember it so clearly. Yeah. I'm able to analyze the games.
This is such a good question. This question is like I don't even know if I can answer this question.
I'm just going through the memories of my mind right now of like these moments that I remember. Like it's crazy. Like I was like, thinking vintage Chelsea too with like the Bosingos that were there, like the Paul Ferreira's, the Carvalho. Like it's just like I just get these memories.
This question is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick with this present Prem, probably only because I lived through it, and I know when we were really young, we 10 to 20 years ago, we were 10 years old. I remember it when you watch tapes, but you don't remember it when you're actually sitting there watching it. I'm gonna go with today's Prem is better, which please don't hate me, but like that's just, I don't know. This is such a good question. I don't even know if I can answer this like to the my full capability because like it's like I don't wanna offend players that played long ago because they're legends now. Like it's like. This is a great question. This is fantastic. Yeah. I want to move on to the next one.
one of my good long time friends, Matthew, he asks, what has been the cause of United's problems in terms of staying up in the race with City? This is where I save my answer for Daniel. Obviously, I have my opinion on it. You're going to have your take on it. But there's two key areas of Manchester United teams that need improving. Mm-hmm. The first one's obvious. It's the striking.
They're bad.
The back line too is obvious as well, but I think they really need that guy.
Quality number nine.
Yeah, because Cavani's not going to cut it. He's there for the short term, not for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been, you know, it's hard to be his former self in the Premier League at the age that he is now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they need a number nine. They need a number nine that's going to be there, like a Haaland. I'm talking like a Haaland solution. Like spend that money.
Something like that, okay.
Get you're going to get good results with Haaland for sure. And then the back line, they need someone there, a leader, because I think Maguire, he's a leader.
Sort of.
But they need a world-class player, and they spend world-class money, but didn't get the world-class player that they would have wanted. I think Maguire is good. He's good for the Prem, but he's not that guy to help them. And maybe some bench depth too, Daniel, because you look at City, why are they so good? Because they play so many games, but they got so many players to rotate in. They got Phil Foden coming off the bench. They got Gundogan coming off the bench when Kevin De Bruyne is healthy. Like that's the key areas that they need to address in order for them to not lose a race and to stay neck and neck with a team like City.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you with your second point. I think one of just like the simplest reason as to why United won't catch up to City is because of City's depth. They're both playing the same amount of games. They're both playing in Europe right now. You got plenty of games to be playing. Sort of trying to rotate players, but United doesn't have the bench depth that City has where they can rotate players and they're still just as good as their starting 11. That helps them win games when they're coming off two or three multiple games in a week. The second point I want to mention is United needs to stop treating lower tier teams like they're lower tier teams. They go out against teams like Crystal Palace, and I don't know why I get this feeling, but when City goes to play a team like Crystal Palace or Sheffield or Fulham, where it's like you're playing bottom of the barrel teams, they go and they put out the best starting lineup that they have. They go and they score three goals quickly, and then they go and they start. That's when they start pulling off players, especially this year with five subs. You can pull off your De Bruyne's, your whoever needs, your Ruben Diaz's, your Stones. If they need time to rest, they're going to get their time to rest. And no matter if they're getting pulled quickly or they're not starting and then coming off the bench because they still need to win the game, they still go out and do that. I just think United pull up against teams that aren't great. And I've hated this from United for a long time because that's what they consistently do year in and year out. They go in and they play great games against the Liverpools and the Chelseas and the Manchester Cities. And then when you go in, you're playing bottom of the barrel teams, they start slacking off. And I can't stand this from United. It's one of my main talking points I can't stand.
And one more thing, Daniel, for this question. I think City, the difference is in mentality. I think City's got a kill mentality to go into games and absolutely just go out and firing on all like on all cylinders. And I think Manchester United lacks confidence in certain moments. They don't have that belief that City has. You know, you could see it. Like in that Wolves game, they still believe that they're going to go out and get the win. Whereas like Manchester United in the Crystal Palace game, they looked like they weren't confident to, you know, really go out and get that deciding goal. You know what I mean, Daniel? Like, that's what I feel like they missed, that mentality, that championship winning mentality.
We're going to move on to the last question here. We got what three teams will go down this season? I think we've addressed this already. We've touched on it briefly in the podcast. I think I'm going to speak for both of us here that we think Sheffield and West Brom are going down. They're sitting in 20th and 19th. I can't see them hopping back up. Fulham has a chance, sitting in 18th with 23 points. They're only 3 points out of relegation, so one win would bump them out of relegation. And there's two teams, Newcastle and Brighton, sitting at 26. I think West Brom and Sheffield are solidified going down. I think Fulham might have a chance. I don't know, sitting only one win.
They're only 3 points back of Newcastle, but Newcastle also has a game in hand. Sheffield, for sure, check them off, they're going down. West Brom, check them off, they're going down. They only have 17 and 14 points respectively. They're 2 and 3 wins behind Fulham for the 18th spot, which is still in relegation. So I think they're done. And then in terms of Fulham, heartbreaking, you know, way to lose against Tottenham the other day. But I don't think they have it in them to go and catch Newcastle. I think Newcastle, it would be a huge shock if Newcastle got relegated. They're just a historically, you know, big club, right, in the Premier League and in British football. So it'd be a huge shock for them to go down. But I don't think it'll happen. I think the three teams, to answer your question, would be Fulham, West Brom, and Sheffield. Those are my three teams.
Yep, I think I'm going to completely agree with you. I don't think either three of those teams have what it takes to compete in the Premier League. Hopefully teams coming out from the Championship next year don't get relegated, because that's what you see a lot of. As soon as they get promoted, they get relegated again. Obviously not including Leeds this year. But hopefully for those three teams, they can pick it up. And again, this is just our opinion, so hopefully they will jump out of relegation. But it's not looking good for them right now.
Daniel, that about wraps up this segment. That wraps up the episode. This is episode 5. Fan Q&A. It was a great one. I really liked that last segment there where we got to answer the community's questions. I love doing that. Just it, you know, it's not always about recapping the match days. It's about, you know, answering these questions, and these questions have some, you know, context to them. And it's really good to, you know, talk about these, some of these, you know, questions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just reminder for you guys, those of you that are listening and aren't already following, we have an Instagram page at Premier Talk Podcast. We're on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. So if you guys want to listen, we'll be there.
Yeah, drop us a follow on Instagram. We'd really appreciate it. And, you know, comments and likes also, you know, help us to, you know, see your support and helps us to keep going. So we really appreciate everything. All these questions really mean a lot to us, and just something you like doing. And we're going to continue going at it for a long time because we really enjoy it. So, All right, that wraps up episode 5. We will see you guys next time.
See you later.
Peace.